Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with the executive editor of Newsbusters, your host, Tim Graham.
Hello and welcome from Casa Newsbusters, where we are struggling to compose ourselves over in an article in New York Magazine titled Why the Media is Worse for Biden Than Trump. Okay, so when the media cheerleads for two Biden impeachments, maybe we'll get there. Jay Rosen, a journalism professor at New York University, a Brian Stelter favorite, tweeted a quote from this article. Quote, Republicans communicate to their base through a media that functionally operates as part of their party, while Democrats communicate to their base through a media that still exerts substantial independence. Yes, we have one response to that. Look, the left is now doing what it accuses the conservative media critics of doing. They are working the refs. I have always rejected this notion because the media are not referees. They prove it every day. They're not here to call. They're not umps. They don't call balls and strikes. They're not independent. You can't trust them to be objective. But Bidenites really want this week. They want to complain about the media in the hopes they get better, softer coverage. Well, we here at Newsbusters will continue to underline how the liberals in the press don't sound very independent of Biden. Yes, the tone is negative. It has to be. That is the reality when we have the worst attack on our soldiers in Afghanistan in years. Friday morning's papers were still projecting the Biden messaging. The New York Times headline in all caps across the top of the paper. U.S. troops among dozens dead in blasts as Biden vows, we will hunt you down. See, they're going to try to make Joe Biden sound like G.I. Joe with Kung Fu grip. The Washington Post and USA Today both touted this note of revenge at the top of the front page. The Washington Post had this, Biden vows vengeance, comma, says evacuation flights will proceed toward August 31 deadline. Do they have any idea what that sounds like? Biden vows vengeance as he walks away. Biden says, I'll get you, while he has total withdrawal. Does anybody believe somebody who, like, walks away from a fight going, well, I'm really gonna mess you up later? This is where he is now. I think that might sound the right note, but the Taliban aren't gonna believe it. Then on top of that, both the Washington Post and the New York Times highlighted Biden's consoler-in-chief skills. And this was sort of the same thing they did with Obama. Oh, he's the consoler-in-chief. Well, yeah, sometimes you have to be the consoler-in-chief a little more when you're incompetent. They won't say that. See, they'll make fun of George Bush standing in front of a banner that said mission accomplished. They're not going to pull that when the Democrats are in power. So the Times headline was, on the front page, worst fear for president who hoped for end to military condolence calls. Well, I mean, that's a little idealistic for any president to hope you won't have to make a military condolence call in a four-year term. Because sometimes like this, terrorist attacks on our troops happen. You can't prevent them all. Sometimes our troops die in training. So, I mean, you can't hope to an end to the idea that our military is not going to suffer some casualties. But, you know, here again, and the Washington Post had this story where, you know, you can tell how pro-Biden this is. They start dragging out, Biden had a son in the Army. No, not exactly. Biden had a son named Beau, who was elected the Attorney General of Delaware. And while he was the Attorney General of Delaware, he went to Iraq with the National Guard. If anyone wants to argue that somehow he was throwing grenades and shooting submachine guns instead of being a lawyer, but that's always the impression you get. Biden knows having a child in the war zone. Okay, well, don't overplay that, but they always do. And when they overplay that, you can say, that is not a reporter who is substantially independent from the White House. Then we turn to Nick Night Train Fondacaro, who noted, according to a disturbing political report from Thursday, U.S. officials in Kabul gave the Taliban a list of names of American citizens, green card holders, and Afghan allies so they could be allowed through Taliban checkpoints. What? Now, who was the genius who thought, hey, let's give the Taliban the list of people that they're trying to hunt down and kill? This is so preposterous, the networks are trying to pretend it didn't happen. Nick pointed out that while ABC, CBS, and NBC chose to ignore that part of the story, it was the first thing Fox News White House correspondent Peter Doocy mentioned when giving his live report from the briefing room during Special Report with Brett Baier. Baier pointed out that Biden had said, quote, there is no evidence thus far that I've given consequence by any of our commanders in the field that there has been collusion between the Taliban and ISIS. And then he says, they're not the good guys, the Taliban. I'm not suggesting that at all. But they have keen interests. Yeah, these people actually believe that the Taliban can be reasoned with. The Biden administration's obviously suggested that the Taliban are somebody you can trust the security of Americans and their Afghan allies to. Pardon us if that sounds a little crazy, but this is what's going on. I mean, we just went through 4 years of the news media always trying to suggest there was a collusion between Trump and the Russians. Well, what's going on right now is that the Biden administration, the White House, the Pentagon, the military are colluding with the Taliban with this notion that they together are on the same mission of safely removing Americans. It just doesn't sound sensible. It sounds a little crazy. Even Mara Liasson of NPR, who I always kind of get a kick out of this because she always sounds like she's got lockjaw when she's signing off on NPR. I'm Mara Liasson. Anyway, even Mara Liasson said, well, you know, Biden said he didn't know about it, the kill list, and it might exist. And so far, there is no evidence they've done anything wrong with this list. Okay. Well, he's been so wrong on so many other things. That's right. When Biden tries to say he doesn't know about anything, he either doesn't know about it, which is embarrassing, or he's trying to dodge it by saying he doesn't know about it, which is also kind of embarrassing. This is the kind of vice that the media will put Republicans in, that you're evil or you're stupid. You're either incompetent or you're doing something maniacal. And maybe that's unfair framing, but it's the kind of unfair framing that's reserved for the Republicans. But at least in this case, Mara Liasson's saying, Biden hasn't exactly been right about Afghanistan. You look at his predictions, they're all on video. Oh, this... The Taliban aren't going to take over in a hurry. That's not going to happen. This isn't going to be Vietnam. Yeah. It's not hard to realize that Biden was wrong about all of this. And so with Mara Liasson, we can grant that point. She's showing substantial independence from the Biden White House when she says he's been wrong about so many things on Fox News. Now, there's one other note here as we talk about what they're calling the kill list. The Washington Post and the New York Times, I tried to screen through all the papers today that came into us. I couldn't find any mention of this kill list story from Politico in all of the stories done today. And I think each paper had 5 or 6 or 7 stories from Afghanistan. I hadn't seen any that talked about this kill list. On page A8 of the Washington Post, there's just this one phrase that the Biden team shared threat assessments and other information with Taliban leaders, but no notion that they had somehow given a list to the Taliban of here's all our important Americans and their translator allies, and here's their address. I mean, good Lord. So we can say this when it comes to Afghanistan. Things are going dismally. And the news media is reporting that it's dismal. And that means that they can see what's in front of their face. But when it comes down to it, when it comes to sort of looking at it for spin, they still want to try to make it about Joe Biden. He's not dumb. Joe Biden, he really cares about the military. Joe Biden, he can actually threaten revenge, and we won't say it's an empty threat. The column I did today is about Spike Lee's new HBO documentary, which is going to promote kooky 9/11 conspiracy theories about how somehow 9/11 was an inside job, some sort of sinister government conspiracy, that there weren't two planes that hit the World Trade Center, that somehow it was a controlled demolition. You know, just last year, HBO ran a Brian Stelter-produced documentary called After Truth about kooky pro-Trump conspiracy theories, like these two guys trying to suggest there were sexual assaults by Robert Mueller. That sounds a little dumb. Guess what else ended up sounding dumb? The alleged sexual assaults of Brett Kavanaugh as a teenager. That didn't seem to stop anyone. But hey, can we expect that Brian Stelter is going to be tough on Spike Lee? The New York Times wasn't exactly tough on Spike Lee. They did ask about it. They did say, well, you featured these 9/11 conspiracy theorists. And Spike Lee basically said, I've been a filmmaker for 4 decades, so whatever. And that just sort of sits there. I mean, the New York Times has this motto, the truth is more important than ever. But apparently not when it comes to Spike Lee. Spike Lee's like a cinematic Al Sharpton. He is down with the struggle. It doesn't matter whether everything he says is truth or lies. Doesn't matter, because he's all right with us. And now we turn to Curtis Houck at the briefing. Curtis is just working overtime. I mean, he usually works overtime. But now we have the Kirby briefing at the Pentagon, the State Department briefing, Jen Psaki at the White House. Oh, the president's coming out. Will he take questions? There's a lot there to digest. He's barely have the time to get around to Joy Reid and Joy Reid being kooky. So the latest, Peter Ducey was called on third at the last Psaki briefing, and he wanted to know how it's possible the U.S. will still work with the Taliban to get American citizens and Afghan allies out, considering we just saw one of these suicide bombers successfully pass through Taliban security without being stopped. That's a very good question. How did that happen? Do we think the Taliban just suck at security? Or maybe there was a winky wink? I mean, we are told that ISIS and the Taliban do not get along. But that's like, you know, two brothers that don't get along. I mean, the fact of the matter is they are two sets of radical Muslims. Maybe they're fighting over the same territory, but they're not substantially different in terms of their aims or methods. But Jen Psaki stuck to that party line, which was the Taliban's not a group we trust, but it's necessary to rely on them because they're in control. We don't trust them, but we're using them anyway. This is the way they sound. The Democrats came around and they were trying to say, Trump's gaslighting you. He's saying all kinds of crazy things that aren't the truth. And they had the independent fact checkers, just like the independent Democratic press, trying to say that everything Trump said sounded crazy. Well, this is all this stuff in Afghanistan, where they're trying to suggest that they're going to use the Taliban as a responsible partner in, you know, drawing down America. What they seem to be doing is basically going to the Taliban, like the way they sent the CIA director into the Taliban to negotiate with them. I mean, we don't know exactly what was said, but we can kind of guess. It was sort of like, look, we know you're going to take over the country. Just let us get out of here with some measure of respect, and we'll leave you alone. Go ahead, take over, impose all of your, execute anybody you want, just let us out. I mean, there's a lot of cynical behavior here. We could categorize it that way. Also in this Psaki briefing was Hillary Vaughn at Fox Business. Multiple Fox questions from multiple Fox networks. Hillary Vaughn posed a simple question about what Americans and Afghan allies still in Afghanistan are facing. Either they stay where they are and risk being hunted down by the Taliban, or they try to go to the airport and risk being blown up by ISIS. How does this evacuation mission continue without evacuees risking their lives? That's a tough question. It's a decent question. It's probably a question without an answer, because the reality is, yeah, there's evacuation's not safe. Now, the administration could be doing a better job of trying to get people out in a way that they feel safe instead of them all being terrified. And these newspapers today can tell you the story of how hard it is for Afghanis to try to get out. They'll do that, but they just don't want to do the story that says how the Biden administration is mucking it up. We should point out, Steve Doocy being followed by Hillary Vaughn at Fox Business is kind of fun because Hillary Vaughn is Steve Doocy's new wife. They got married in April. Now, one weird point came yesterday when the president was taking questions, and he turns to the press and he says, "They gave me a list here. The first person I was instructed to call on is Kelly O'Donnell of NBC. This, my friends, is a classic Biden gaffe. He's giving you way too much information. Because what it sounds like is somebody gave Grandpa a list of how to do things. The whole selling point of this guy was, I have decades and decades of Washington experience. I don't need any advisors. I've been at this since 1972 or something. And it's like, yeah, no, in reality, I think what he's basically trying to do is he's trying to avoid responsibility for who he chooses. I mean, why would he say that? I was instructed. That particular word was what everybody was pouncing on. We pounced. I was instructed to call on Kelly O'Donnell. Now, look, Obama would stride in there and he'd just be like, hey, Kelly O'Donnell, go. He wouldn't try to say that somebody instructed him to do anything. So then we have Aaron Rupar, liberal troll from Vox, complaining on Twitter, so much going on right now. And Hannity still has to reach for stuff to use for dishonest attacks. And the screenshot is basically Fox saying, Biden says he has to be instructed. Well, it's literally what he said. The people who really made the Jay Rosens look silly, the idea of substantial independence. You know, anybody who's watching the Joy Reid Who Nanny knows better. That is the Obama-Biden party line. Hard line. Hardcore. And so Joy Reid and Claire McCaskill are both sharing the assessment that Joe Biden's courageously withdrawing.
The hypocrisy of the people who are piling on Joe Biden for trying to end this war is stunning. And I got to say, in all the oversight I did in Afghanistan as a member of the Armed Services Committee, one theme emerged over and over and over again. It was greed. It was contractors. It was impractical use of money. I mean, Joy, we went so far as to build a gas station with natural gas for a country that has very few cars and none that run on natural gas. That's the kind of money people were pocketing. The corruption was endemic. We trained people for an army that never really was real. It was all on paper. It was time for this to end, and Joe Biden had the courage to do it.
That's exactly right.
I'm proud that he did.
Absolutely. And war is ugly, and it's always ugly. I mean, we do less of it.
This is the new line. They're all saying this. And Bill D'Agostino has a video up at Newsbusters about all of the people trying to come to Biden's defense. This is one of the lines that the Biden shoe shiners are using. War is always ugly. It's always messy. Withdrawal's always going to be bad. Well, that's probably true if you lost. I mean, withdrawing from Vietnam was not going to be a picnic, and they did it for many, many years, getting the prisoners of war out and so on. Yes, leaving a war you lost is ugly. It's easier when you win. You sign an armistice and it's the end of the movie. But that's what they're really trying to do here, is try to say somehow Biden's doing something right. I think everybody who's got two eyes can see this did not go right. They didn't do this strategically the right way. All the military people were basically like, you know, if we'd kept the Bagram Air Force Base, we would have had a secure location to evacuate people from. They could have tried to do that. For some reason, they never got it done. So then from Joy Reid, you get even sillier. Then there's James Carville going on the Brian Williams show. Sounds like Liar's Corner. Brian Williams and James Carville, both experienced liars. And this is the same line Carville's doing. First of all, there's no elegant way to lose a war. We lost this war 15 years ago. All Joe Biden was doing is telling us what time it is. Joe Biden told the truth. He's so smart. And then, of course, Carville goes on and says, the hysterical and stupid coverage of the mainstream press has just been awful. One of the few people in this whole establishment that recognized the fact this war was lost is Biden. Didn't do anything but tell us the truth. Yeah. Okay, so when it comes to truth-telling, we're going to go to James Carville, who's like, Bill Clinton didn't have sex with Jennifer Flowers, he just groped her in a bar. You know, I mean, come on. James Carville lied about Clinton backwards and forwards and around the corner and back again. The idea that Brian Williams is going to put that guy on is embarrassing. And then Brian Williams says, does Biden need more friends and more vocal friends in Washington to point all this out? What kind of question is that? And then Carville repeated himself. Well, first of all, he'd be greatly benefited if the press would cover this accurately. Here they are, as we've all noted here. They're trying to be nice to Biden while trying to not ignore reality. And this is what, when you're James Carville, that's really the playbook. You ignore the reality in front of your face and you go with the legend that you want to promote. Afghanistan's going tremendously. I mean, he actually said, this evacuation is going much better than a lot of people expected. This was the night before the deadly terrorist bombing where we lost 13 members of our military. It's not going better than expected, James. And it's embarrassing that you'd try to say so. Oops, didn't end so well, did it? James Carville's not interested in a press that covers things accurately. James Carville's interested in a press that covers things in such a way that ensures maximum Democratic gains. That's what Democrats want. And that's a lot of times the kind of press that Democrats get. That is the point we're trying to make here at Newsbusters. We're out here to prove it. We're out here to give you the videos and the transcripts to show the media do not have independence from the Democrats. They're having a little bit of a moment where it's difficult to not tell the truth about how bad it is. But give it time. Come to us once, twice, 24 times a day. Thanks for listening.